Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
There's a connection with this series that we're doing, which I started last week, which is called Who Are We? And, you know, I told you guys last week, every now and then we have to remind ourselves of who we are. And we all know and understand that we are Crosstown Church of Memphis. And we have to remind, one of the ways that we remind ourselves about who we are is taking a look at our vision and taking a look at our mission. And we understand that our vision is our identity. So when we ask the question, who are we? Then we look at our vision and it helps us, or it reminds us of who we are, because it is our identity. Our mission is our job. And so last week I reminded us of our vision statement, and that is we are people that love God, love people, serve the city, bringing people together by sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. That's who we are. That's our identity. Our mission is that we are a church where people from all ethnic, cultural, social, economic, and denominational backgrounds can find hope, forgiveness, and acceptance and love in the good news of Jesus Christ. What do? We seek to be a church of worship, of prayer, encouragement, and vision, which is very important. What else do we do? We are a church who connects people to God, grow together, serve the city, and extend God's kingdom through church planting. Furthermore, we seek to be good news to those who are not a part of the church. But why do we do that? Because God loves them. And because God loves them, we will love them also. We will love and serve the city because God loves the city. We will fulfill our mission, or as we fulfill this mission, as we do this job, here are some tangibles that will happen. Here are some tangibles that should happen. And that is, as we fulfill our mission, lives will be transformed and racial barriers will be torn down as we are reconciled to God and to one another. So this is our mission and this is our vision. Last week reminded us of our scripture that is Habakkuk, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, write the vision down, make it plain so that those that read it can do what? Can run with it. And we have a responsibility to run with the vision. We have a responsibility to run with our mission. And that is to manage it, to make sure it's functional, to keep it valid and in operation. That's our job. And so we have to do those things. We have to run with that vision. Proverbs 29 and 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps it is happy. It is the vision that keeps us from perishing as a church. It's the vision that keeps us alive as a church. It is the vision that gives us validity in the things that we are doing. It's the vision that gives us our identity and our purpose. And our purpose is defined in our mission. If we are keeping this vision, it also will make us happy. So with that, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for another day, Lord, another beautiful, sunny Sunday morning where we can come together in our homes or wherever we're at, Father, and just worship you. Lord, as we get into your word today, we pray that you give us some enlightenment, give us understanding, give us encouragement, give us direction. And if we need correction, Father, we ask that you give us correction. It's in your son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Amen. Last week I told you all that our vision and our mission is not built around our convenience. this is something that we really, really need to pay attention to. We really need to understand this, that our vision and our mission, it is not built around our convenience. When it comes to our vision, you know, I'm just going to put this out here. Okay. I'm not going to be pulling no punches today. So y'all get ready. Okay. I'm not pulling no punches today. When it comes to our vision, and not just us specifically, but just in general, when it comes to the church as a whole, meaning the universal church, when it comes to the vision, when it comes to a vision of a particular house, or a particular church, or maybe even in your family or in an organization or a corporation or a business that you're involved in, you know, when it comes to a vision, a lot of times too many people are trying to be the head coach and they're not the head coach, which brings me to the title of our lesson for today. And that is, I am not the coach. We have to understand that everybody cannot be the head coach. And too often, too many people in an organization or in a church are trying to be the head coach and to run the vision or to do what necessarily needs to be done when it comes to the vision. You know, it's not everybody's place to be the head coach. And I know some of y'all, we got DJ that's on. I saw DJ on here. Carlos is on here. I'm not sure of any other men, but I know even y'all women, I know y'all very familiar with the NFL, right? Very familiar with the NFL. So I'm going to use the NFL to kind of give us some understanding on here. Okay, we got the NFL. You know, each team on the NFL, each team has an owner, each team has a general manager, and each team has a head coach, right? The owner sets the tone and the vision for the team, period. That's the owner's job. No one else can set the tone. No one else can set the vision for the team. The owner, it's his or hers. So they can do what they want to do with that team. They set the tone. They set the vision. So oftentimes, you know, I'm going to use the Cowboys as an example here. A lot of times, you know, Jerry Jones, he has a habit. He has a real habit. And a lot of people don't like this. He has a real habit of being very hands-on when it comes to his team. But the reality is this. The truth is, that's his team. It's his. So he sets the tone and he sets the vision. And if you don't like it, then he get rid of you. You know, because he's the owner, can't nobody argue with that. You know, you can't be mad at him. He can do what he want to do with his team. So, but the owner sets the tone and the owner sets the vision of the team. You have a general manager. Each team has a general manager. The general manager, they have the responsibility of hiring the head coach. They also have the responsibility of building the executive staff, a good staff to help manage the affairs of the team. They also coordinate scouting prospects. To build a team roster. So a general manager, you know, they have a lot of things on that team, you know, concerning that team that they have to build and manage. Then you have the head coach. The head coach oversees the coaching staff to make sure that the team understands the fundamentals of the game. So the head coach is putting together and managing and overseeing all the other coaching staff, all the assistant coaches, the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinators, and all the other coaches there. The head coach is overseeing all of those coaches to make sure that they fully understand or make sure that the team fully understands the fundamentals of the game. The head coach also runs practices. They prepare the team for their opponent. And they make decisions during the game. So when the game is in process, the head coach is the ones that's making the decisions. All right. Now they do have other people that's helping them, assisting them in making those decisions, but the decision falls on the head coach. All right. When it comes to Crosstown Church, this is what we need to understand. We need to, and not just specifically Crosstown Church, all churches. when it comes to Crosstown Church, we need to understand this. We need to understand that God is the owner. He is the owner of Crosstown Church of Memphis. He is the owner of the church right down the street. You know what I'm saying? He's the owner of all the churches. He's the owner of the universal church. So we're focusing on Crosstown Church here today. So God is the owner of Crosstown Church. So that means he sets the tone and he sets the vision. It's his. He can do what he want to do. All right. He sets the tone. He can be as hands-on as he want to be, or he can be hands-off as much as he wants to be. He can be in the background and never be seen or heard from the, you know, the team, or he can be right there on the field with the team. Jerry Jones, a lot of times, that man is right there on the field, on the sideline, standing right next to the head coach. But he can be as hands-on or hands-off as he wants to be. He sets the tone. He sets the vision. God is the owner. The general manager is Jesus Christ. He is the general. He is the general manager. He's the one who seeks out and appoints or places a head coach. Jesus is the one that goes out, okay, we need a head coach here. He, you know, when we think about Jesus, this is something, one thing that he did, you know. So he builds the staff and he coordinates scouting process, prospects, compiling the team. It was Jesus who built his staff of disciples. And it was Jesus who went out and he scouted prospects to bring other people into his organization, to bring other people onto his team. If you guys remember in the book of Acts, during the day of Pentecost, the 12 disciples, or actually it was 11 at that time, because Judas had killed himself because he betrayed Jesus. So it was 11 disciples. Jesus, before he went back to heaven, he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then it said they were there the day a day came where the Holy Spirit came and filled that room. It said that those disciples, and I believe if I'm correct, it said, and 400 others were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Who was those 400? Who was all them other folks? Like, dang, I thought Jesus only had 12. No, he didn't. Jesus had a whole lot of, his team was huge. His team was big. All right. So how did he get? He scouted him. He scouted for prospects. Jesus, he spoke to me one day and he said, Byron, I need you to go. I need you to go home. I need you to go where you came from. I need you to go back home and I need you to start this church. Jesus planted this thing deep down in my heart for years. I'm asking the question, is this real? Jesus, you really talking to me? Jesus, is this really? Do you really want me to go back home? Jesus this, Jesus that, Jesus this, Jesus that. I was asking a million questions. Are you sure? Are you sure you want me to do this? You know? And eventually one day I came to a place and I made a decision. Okay, I can't keep asking questions. At some point, I'm going to have to start acting on this. Jesus sought me out and said, I want you to be the head coach of Crosstown Church.
Amen.
And so with that, it is my job to oversee the coaching staff to assure that the team understands the fundamentals of the vision. God, he sets the tone. He sets the vision. Jesus seeks out the head coach. He seeks out prospects. He sends people. He speaks to people. You know, some of you that are listening to me right now, you probably can attest to it. Maybe you can identify. Maybe you're still even questioning whether or not Jesus spoke to you to be a part of Crosstown Church. You know, maybe he placed something on your heart. Maybe he showed you something. And for whatever reason, you're here today. And he's given me the responsibility to make sure that everyone understands the fundamentals of our vision, which God gave us. Make sure that everybody understands the tone that has been set for Crosstown Church of Memphis that God has set for us. It's also my responsibility to run practices, to prepare the team for our opponent, and to make decisions during our mission. While we're doing our mission, I have the responsibility to make some decisions. I do have people to help me, to assist me in making those decisions, but it ultimately falls on me to make the decision. And so with that being, You know, you can see that our vision and our mission is not built around our convenience, but our mission and our vision is built around God's purpose for us. That's what it's built around. And we have to make sure that we don't get in the way of God's purpose. We have to make sure that we don't get in the way of God's vision. So we have to understand that everybody can't be the head coach. Somebody has to be the head coach and do that job while others do the job that they're, everybody can't be the quarterback. Everybody can't be, you know, everybody can't be the offensive coordinator. Everybody can't be the defensive coordinator. We all have a job. And sometimes our jobs are very specific and very, very unique for a particular thing. And we have to really seek that out. We have to, as we understand the fundamentals of the vision that God has given us, in that we really need to be seeking, okay, what's my job? What's my place? What's my purpose in this? What part of this am I supposed to be working? What part of this am I supposed to be managing? What part of this am I supposed to be keeping valid and keeping in operation so that this vision can be seen, so that this vision can be realized? And we have to get in our place. We have to get in our position. So I really want to encourage you guys today, as you understand our vision, as you understand our mission, seek that place, look at it and say, okay, where do I belong in this? If I'm a part of this team, where do I belong in this? And, you know, sometimes I remember when I played football in high school, the position I was playing is I was a free safety. And the reason I was a free safety, because I was really fast. I was one of the fastest guys on the team. I was small and, you know, I was small, not necessarily short, but just tiny guy, you know, compared to some of the other guys who were big and muscular. And so I was really fast. I was really quick. And I had a good eyesight. I could see the whole field and see stuff. You know, I can pinpoint stuff. You know, it's like I can glance the whole field real fast and be like, you know, I got it. Bam. That's where I'm going. And I will be there. Wow. Just like that. And so I played free safety because, you know, free safety plays, they play deep in the back, in the backfield. And the reason they play deep in the backfield, because they have to be able to see the whole field. And they got to be able to see movements that are going on with so many different pieces. And then when they see their target, they have to be able to try to get there to that place real fast. So I played free safety and I loved that position. I enjoyed it, man. And, you know, my coaches loved me in that position or whatever. But somehow, some way, I don't know how, I don't know what it was, but our head coach came to me one day and he said, have you ever thought about playing quarterback? I said, quarterback? No, I ain't ever thought about playing no quarterback. I mean, I don't even throw no ball. You know what I'm saying? I'm not good at throwing a football, but you quarterback. He said, yeah, I'm going to give you a try at quarterback. And so he gave me a try at quarterback. And he started grooming me on this great football team. You know, in the years that I was at Merrill's, we had a really good football team and had known for going to the playoffs every year, even going to the states, you know, state. But anyway, I'm like, dang, I got an opportunity to be a quarterback on this team, like for real. And he started grooming me for that place. But there was something that he saw. There was something that he saw in me. That he said, that guy right there, he has the potential to be a great leader. That guy right there, he got an eyesight. He could see a lot of things. You know, he may not be the best thrower or whatever, but we can train him. We can train him to do that. There are things in you. There are things in you that Jesus is looking at. There are things in you that I want you guys to know. There are things in you that I'm looking at. I'm looking at you. I want you to know this. And Jesus is looking at you, and you may not be in the position that you need to be in. You may be in the position that you want to be in, but it may not be the position that you need to be in. And I have a job. I have a responsibility with the assistance of our general manager, who is Jesus Christ, to look and see how do we place our team members in the best place so that they could be fulfilled in their gifts and their talents and their desires, but also what fits the team, what will advance the team also. And so I want you guys to know, I have the responsibility to oversee these. I got to have an eye. And the only way I get that eye is from the assistance of Jesus Christ. We need to be, we want to be, we are going to be and continue to be a church of vision. And in order to be a church of vision, I have to keep my eyes open to vision. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I spend a Amen. Lot of time talking about vision every year. Every year, I spend at least a month talking about vision. And, you know, I know some of y'all probably get tired of it. And like, here we go. We're talking about vision again. Here we go. We're talking about vision again. You know, man, we always talking about vision. Y'all, some of y'all be like, Pastor B, I already know the vision of the church. Okay. I already know the vision of the church. So I know some, you know, how many of y'all get those phone calls or text messages or emails or whatever? And for those of y'all that's on TikTok or social media, you know, they've been joking about this thing for the longest, you know. You get those phone calls. There's this thing on TikTok that's been going around. It's kind of getting old now where somebody like creeps up on another person real smooth like and say, hey, I just wanted to talk to you about your car's extended warranty. You know, how many of y'all been getting them phone calls, them text messages, emails about your car's extended warranty? It seems like every time you turn around, you're getting a message about your car's extended warranty. All these spam mails and call. Guess what I got in the mail the other day? I got a mail. So we have some lockers here where we live at. And these are those Amazon lockers. I think Amazon, the one who started and put them out everywhere. You guys probably got some of your neighborhoods and some of y'all probably don't even know or not even aware of. But they're lockers that Amazon has placed throughout different communities and neighborhoods. And what these lockers are, they're parcels. They're parcels lockers. And so people, because of the problem with people stealing your packages off of your doorstep or at your front door or something like that. So Amazon has put lockers throughout the communities so that if you want, you could pay like a service fee. I think we pay like $4 a month or something like that for it. Not a lot at all. So all of our Amazon packages, all of our packages, even from USPS or anybody, they go into these lockers to make sure that nobody steals them or take them or anything like that. And so you might need to check your neighborhood because you probably got some of your neighborhood and don't even know it. So instead of them leaving it at your doorstep, you can have it put into one of these lockers and you'll get an email and a text message with like a 6-digit code or it even has a barcode on it. You just go to the locker, pull up, go to the locker, you know, put this type in the 6-digit number or just scan the barcode. And all of a sudden, one of the doors to the locker will just automatically boop, pop open. And there your package is, right? So I get this text message that I got a parcels package, you know. So I go down to the locker and I scanned it, you know, with my phone, the scan the thing. All of a sudden, I can hear the locker. I can hear a locker. It was one behind me. You hear it open. It said click. And it popped open. I turned around. I walked over there to the locker and there was a single letter in that locker, not a package, but a single letter. I looked at this letter. I opened it up and guess what I got in this thing that was delivered parcels, not in my regular mailbox. I got a letter, a pink letter at that. We've been trying to reach you about your car's extended warranty. Man, get out of here. I was so mad. Like y'all went through the trouble of doing all of that to go to put this in, give me a text message, email and everything about a car's extended warranty. Man, I get tired of those messages. You know what? I know some of y'all get tired of me talking about vision. I know you do. And you know what? I can't apologize, but I'm not going to apologize. Okay. I'm going to keep on talking about vision and our vision forever. Every year I spend at least a month talking about vision. I'm going to continue to do so. I'm never going to stop. Why do I do this? The reason that I talk about vision a lot, the reason that I'm going to continue to talk about vision a lot is because of this. It's because vision leaves. If we don't talk about it constantly, it will leave us. The Bible says that where there is no vision, my people perish. I'm talking about the vision, and I will keep continue to talk about the vision to make sure that we don't perish, to make sure that the vision does not leave. Why do God's people perish because of lack of vision? It's because they did not keep it in front of them. They did not keep it on them. They did not keep it before them all the time. They did not talk about it. They forgot to talk about it, forgot to make sure the team members understood the fundamentals. They forgot to do what they needed to do concerning the vision, and the vision left them. And when the vision left them, their purpose slowly disappeared. I'm going to talk about it and continue to talk about it because vision leaves. Not only will vision leave you, but it will also leave me. So we all have to make sure that the vision stays before us. Some of you that are from in the NFL know about the NFL. You guys know about Julio Jones, right? Tom's just kind of clowning me the other day in a conversation about Julio Jones. Okay, Tom, you got me. Julio Jones. Let's just say this man is in a game, and he's missed several key passes. He's one of the, you know, greater receivers in the NFL. He misses several key passes in a game, right? He misses these passes because he ran the wrong route. Not because he's not a great catcher, you know. He misses them because he ran the wrong route. Now, if this happens, you can guarantee what he's going to be doing for the next week in practice. You can guarantee it. He's going to be running those routes over and over and over and over and over again. If he's a great player, he's going to make sure that he's going to be running those routes. He's going to make sure that he'll never forget those routes again. He's going to be reading them. He's going to be studying them. He's going to be watching film on them. He's going to be running. He's going to do everything he can to make sure that those routes are planted deep in him in every way he possibly can. Not only that, his coach is going to be making sure that he's doing it. You know, in a basketball game, you know, every now and then a player will be on the free throw line doing clutch time. And it's the decision of the game whether they're going to win or lose. And sometimes players are choke on that free throw line and they'll miss those free throws. You know what they're going to be doing in practice? You know what they're and sometimes before the night ends, they're going to be at the free throw line practicing shooting free throws over and over and over and over and over again until they're dropping them with their eyes closed. Because here's the deal. When you don't practice your free throws, no matter how good you are, it will leave you. If you're not studying those routes as a receiver, if Julio Jones is not studying those routes constantly, at any given moment, it could leave him. When he steps on that field and it's time for him to run that route, and he'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, I know that route. I know the route. He may know him, remember the route, but, oh, man, he for some reason, it left him in a clutch time. We have to make sure we keep the vision before us so that it does not leave us. Constantly talking about it assures us of this. We have to care about what God wants us to do. We have to do what God wants us to do. We have to make sure that the vision does not leave us. Amen. Here's another reason why I talk about it, the vision all the time. This is why I talk about it so much. A vision needs a vessel. It has to have a vessel in order to have life. God wants to get something done in our community, and he needs vessels that's willing and able to get the job done. You know, some of y'all probably were thinking when y'all made the decision to be a part of Crosstown Church or any church or whatever church you're a part of, maybe you was thinking, you know, I just want to find a nice church where I can go and fellowship and, you know, maybe get some nice worship or whatever. You know, I just want to find a nice church that I can sit in that look good, smell good, you know, all that stuff. I just want to find a nice church, you know. I don't need all that other stuff. I just want a little nice church. You know what I mean? You know, maybe, you know, you said to yourself, you know, I just want, you know, to find a church where I can get a little Bible knowledge, you know, a little bit more understanding of what I already know, because, you know, I'm trying to get to this next level of success in my life. And, you know, maybe if I can get a little bit more knowledge in the Bible and a little bit more understanding and knowledge, I could be a little bit more successful. I just want to find a church like that. You know, some of you may have been saying, you know, I just want to see, you know, if this will help my marriage, you know, I want to see if this will help my family situation. You know, a lot of times we'll make a decision to seek out a church, you know, for different reasons, you know, just because we looking for a place to be comfortable at, looking for a place to get a little bit no more knowledge, or maybe we're seeking some help in some areas in our lives where we may be struggling at. You know, you weren't really looking for a place that will require you to work. Very few people look for a church that would require them to work. Most people look for a church based on the conveniences of life that they want. They don't look for a church where they say, oh man, I want to go over there because them folks are doing some work over there. I mean, that team over there, they putting in work. That team over there, they man, look at their practices, man. They running hard practice. I want to be a part of that team. Very few people look at a church and make a decision to be a part of a church for those reasons. Now, I'm not saying that those other reasons that I stated are wrong reasons or reasons that shouldn't be considered, but Crosstown Church is not a social club. If you're looking for a social club, then join the, I don't know if I should say this because I don't want to offend anybody. If you're looking for a social club, join the AKAs, join the Kappas, join a fraternity or a sorority. If you're part of a fraternity or sorority, I know they do a lot of work in the community and stuff like that. This is not meant to be a jab at fraternities and sororities or whatever, but I just want you to know that Crosstown Church is not a fraternity or a sorority. It's not a social club. It's not a church where we get a little teaching and some nice fellowship and, you know, fulfill our Sunday obligation to God. You know, Crosstown Church, you know, and here's the thing, all of those stuff, yeah, we are. We do have a nice social, you know, tone. We do get, you know, some teaching, and I hope that the teachings that I give and Miss Marguerite give and whoever else give, I hope these teachings are very helpful and very useful to your lives. I you know, we do get some nice fellowship, you know, whether in person or online, you know. We do get an opportunity to fulfill our Sunday obligation to God, but I want you to know that is not the extent of who we are. That's a small piece of who we are compared to the bigger thing of who we are. Crosstown Church is a people that loves God, loves people, and serve the city, bringing people together by sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. That's more. That's the larger picture of who we are. So my question to you is this. Are you willing to be a vessel that God can use to do this? Are you willing to make yourself available? You know that song, Lord, I'm available to you. I know I can't sing. Sing the rest of it, Margaret. How I go?
I will I give to you.
Yeah. Keep going. Amen. So I want to know, I'm asking questions. Are you a willing vessel to God to do this work? Are you available to him? And if you are willing to be a vessel, do you have room to carry the responsibility? You know, some of you have too many things that you're carrying that don't have any, that don't give you any other room to carry anything else. You carry too much stuff. You're carrying so much stuff that you're willing. You may say, hey, I'm willing to be a vessel. I'm willing to be available to do this work that God has called us to do, but I got too much other stuff that I'm carrying. I don't have room enough to carry anything else. So as much as it is in my heart that I want to help, I want to be available, I want to be a vessel, I'm just carrying too much stuff. You know, last night we went, Marguerite and I a group of people went out last night and celebrated our wedding anniversary. Tomorrow's going to be 29 years. So we was out last night and we're celebrating our anniversary. And we had went to this one establishment downtown, and me and a couple of people were sitting outside on the patio. And there was this guy that came out and he was walking through and he was literally carrying drinks. Okay. He had a bunch of drinks that he had got and he was carrying them to his group. And as he's carrying his drinks, he actually carrying them like this. He had, I don't know how many glasses of drinks he had. He's carrying them like this. And he's walking and he's tiptoeing. He's walking in between everybody, you know. And we looked at him like, bro, you better move slow. You know what I'm saying? And he finally got through. Right when he got to his group, all of a sudden you hear crash. He dropped one of the glasses and drink spilled everywhere. The glass broke. Cling, 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 cling. That man was carrying too many drinks. He was carrying too much. You know, sometimes we're carrying so much stuff and we're trying our best to be stable and stabilize everything. And no matter how hard we try to stabilize our own lives and our own situations and so that we can just move forward and be successful in the things that we're doing. And God is saying to us the whole time, hey, I need you. Hey, we got to work over here. Hey, I need you. But you're carrying so much stuff and you're just trying to stabilize all the stuff that you're carrying to where you say, God, I want to help. God, I want to help. God, I want to help. But you're dropping the stuff that you're carrying already and breaking it and damaging it. And here's the deal. Every time God wants to use you, you know, here's something else that we do. Every time God wants to use you, every time he calls upon you, every time he puts something in front of you, you know, we have to check our schedule. Let me check my schedule. Yeah, let me check my schedule. But every time you need God, God ain't checking his schedule. God, you say, God, I need you, Lord, I need you. God's not saying, okay, let me check my schedule. Let me see if I can help out. I want to help, but let me see. I got to check my schedule first. Every time God comes to us and asks us to do something, we got to check our schedule. You know, and I'm not trying to, I swear, and some people don't even like to use the word swear, but especially her, you know. But anyway, I want you all to know my heart. I don't say anything to condemn anybody. And if this is hitting you, I my intentions is not to condemn. Jesus said, I came to give you life and that you may have it more abundantly. He said, I did not come to condemn the world, but I came to give the world life and that they may have it more abundantly. The things that I say, the things that I share, the things that comes from my heart, I pray and I try to do my best to make sure that I am representing Jesus Christ, who is representing God the Father, and that is to bring life and not condemnation. But the reality is that so often we're checking our schedule whenever God calls on us, and God ain't never checking his schedule whenever we call on him. You know, some of the things that you're carrying, if you look at some of the things that you're carrying, they have no value to you or to anyone else. Sometimes we might need to take a step back and look at all the things that we're carrying. And we need to look at the value and say to those things, is this thing actually adding value to me? And is it adding value to anyone else? And sometimes we'll find that some of the stuff that we're carrying actually has no value to us or anyone else. Or the value that it does carry is very little in comparison to the value of the thing that God is trying to get you to carry. You know, God, he has blessed us with so many different things. He has blessed our lives in so many different areas. And you know, God has blessed us not only so that our lives can be good, but he's also blessed us to enable us to do his work. You know, some of your finances just maybe, you know, God just continually blessing you on your finances. You know, yes, he's blessing you on your finances so that you can be blessed, so that you can enjoy the things of life. But maybe also he's blessing you so that you can help do some of the things that he needs done in the vision that he wants us to do. Maybe God is promoting you on your job or excelling you on your job and exposing you to people or exposing you to knowledge and understanding, exposing you to trainings and teachings and conferences that your job is providing for you and giving to you so that you can be successful on your job. But maybe he's also doing that because he said, hey, here, we're gonna move you up in this area right here because you're going to get some knowledge. You're going to get some understanding that's going to be very helpful for this company, but it's also going to be helpful for the church. You're going to learn some skills that not only can be helpful for this company, but it also can be helpful for the church. When God blesses us, he blesses us, you know, for us also, but he also blesses us to enable us to do the work that he has called us to do. Philippians chapter 2 and 13, and I'm almost done, y'all. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, for God is working in you. God is working in everyone that's under the sound of my voice right now. I want you to know he's working in you right now. He's been working in you and he's going to continue to work in you. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what is pleasing to him. What's pleasing to God? What's pleasing to God is when you are in his will. What's pleasing to God is when you are doing his will, when you are doing the thing that he has purposed and called you to do in this earth, which is to give you life and to give you more abundantly, but also to do the things that he wants to get done in this earth. He needs a vessel. He wants a vessel that is willing and available. Are you available to be a vessel? Here's something else about vision. And this is where I really bring it to a close. I got two times that I said it, all right? This is my second time, okay? So, but I promise you, I'm bringing it to a close right here. Here's something else about vision. And that is, vision has to be visible. Where does the word vision come from? Visibility. Vision has to be visible. It's one thing to have a vision and to have it in writing, but it's another thing to actually see it. In the book of Habakkuk, God said to write the vision down, make it plain so that those that see it can run with it, so that those that see it can manage it, so that they can keep it valid, so they can make sure it stays in operation. All right? So we have the vision written down so that we can keep it before us, so that it does not leave us, so that we can make sure we understand the fundamentals of the vision and the mission. But we also need to see it. It's one thing to have it in writing, but it's another thing to actually see it. We can tout all day long about our vision. We can brag about it all day long, talk about it all day long, but if people don't actually see it, it doesn't have any value. We can say to people all day long that we're a church, you know, that loves people, you know, all ethnic, cultural, social, denominational lines and stuff like that, and we're bringing people together. That's what we want, sharing God's message of love, hope, and forgiveness. But if they don't actually see it, we could talk about it all day long, but if they don't actually see it, then it carries no value. The visibility of our vision is not people seeing us just gathering on Sunday morning for church. The visibility of our vision is not, you know, that new car, that new house that you got. It's not that level of education or that level of intelligence that you got. It's not our careers or our businesses. Those things are great. Those things are wonderful. Those things are our blessings. But those things are not the visibility of our vision. Those things do not define or our identity of who we are as a church. Those things do not say we are Crosstown Church. Just because you got a new car, a new house, that doesn't say we are Crosstown Church of Memphis. Just because your educational level or your intelligence or your careers or your businesses that you have established and how you've been blessed all day long, those things do not say we are Crosstown Church of Memphis. It doesn't. The thing that says that we are Crosstown Church of Memphis is our vision. The visibility of our vision is people actually seeing us loving God in a real, authentic, tangible way. That's the visibility of our vision. I'll say that one more time. The visibility of our vision is people seeing us loving God in a real, authentic, tangible way. The visibility of our vision is this, is people seeing us love people in the same way. Just as we love God in a real, authentic, tangible way, when we love one another, when we love other people in a real, authentic, tangible way, that's the visibility of our vision. The visibility of our vision is also this. It's people seeing the diversity in our church where people of all kinds are doing what? Coming together. We have, that's a part of who we are. That's a part of our vision. But if people don't actually see it, it carries no value whatsoever. It's like clinging symbols. That's all it is. That's our vision being visible. Our vision needs to be so visible that if people spend any amount of time with us, they can figure it out for themselves. That's how visible our vision needs to be. In our vision needs to be so visible that a blind man walking down the street, coming into our church, spending some time with us, can figure it out. I saw a blind man walking down the street the other day on Hooper, and he was running. He ran to a section of sidewalk that was real broken up. And as he was walking, I was looking at him, and I kind of slowed down a little bit, and I was keeping an eye on him, because I was like, man, this dude gonna mess around and fall, and hope he don't fall in the street, you know, because that sidewalk area was real busted up. That dude, you know, he took his walking stick, and he stopped in that area, and he felt all around there. He took that stick and felt all around that spot. He got a stick, and before he took another step, he was taking small steps. He felt all around the area so he could see, become familiar with everything that was in front of him. He realized, okay, there's something going on. This ain't just smooth, something going on. Let me figure this out. He took that stick, rubbed it out, and he figured it out. Our vision, that man is blind, but he has so much vision to where he can see. I mean, there was something going on. He had the tools, he had the resource to figure out what's going on here. Our vision needs to be so visible that a blind person can come walking up in there and spend some time with us, and all he had to do is just feel around a little bit, and they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. That's how visible our vision needs to be. Who are we? We are Crosstown Church of Memphis.
If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.